From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line with today's host, Father Wade Menezes. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. You can also text the letters EWTN to 55000 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Hey, tremendous Tuesday to each and every one of you. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN's Open Line Tuesday. We talk faith, family, and fellowship on Tuesdays. Father Wade Menezes is in the house. If you've got a question for Father Wade or a comment or need some advice or just some comfort, some pastoral words from Father Wade, give us a call at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, you're still part of the mystical body of Christ and the human family. We'd like to talk to you as well. Your number is 1-205-271-2985, and we'll put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. You can always send us an email, openline@ewtn.com, or you can text your question to Father Wade. Text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Text your first name and your question. Message and data rates may apply. I'm Jack Williams, Michael McCall producing the program. Your call screener is Ryan Penny and Jeff Burson handling our social media endeavors. So if you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook Live, hello to you. And if you'll use that chat feature, you can get a question in to Father Wade as well. And our host, as he is every single Tuesday, our very favorite Father of Mercy, Father Wade Menezes. How are you, Father?
Doing well, as could be expected, Jack. We Fathers of Mercy are hunkered down here at the Generalate House in Auburn, Kentucky, obeying both civil and ecclesiastical rules that are in place during this pandemic, and praying and fasting, and we are offering confessions on the front porches of our guest cabins with the bishop's permission. And so we're just getting through this like everyone else and trying to be faithful in it and see God's permissive will in all of this, and praying for all those who have died, for the blessed repose of their souls, and also praying for those, of course, who have the virus itself, regardless whether it's mild or severe, and praying also especially for all healthcare workers and our government leaders, too, who are working hard to pass a stimulus package, and just for everyone involved, and beyond our country, beyond our country. This is a worldwide crisis, and we're praying for all who have been greatly, especially adversely affected by this.
And you know, Father Wade, I think we'll try to wrap things up just a tick early today to give you an opportunity before the final blessing to actually offer a prayer for the intentions that you've just mentioned. This situation obviously is unprecedented in most of our lifetimes, and it brings to light, you know, you don't know what you've taken for granted until someone tells you you're taking it for granted. And you know, the reception of our Lord in the Most Blessed Sacrament can unfortunately be one of those things. And I think that we are all gaining a new appreciation for the concept of a spiritual communion. Those of us who've watched EWTN Mass on EWTN over the years have always heard Sister Grace Marie come on during the distribution of Holy Communion with one of those beautiful spiritual communion prayers. And boy, I think we all have a greater appreciation for Sister Grace Marie right about now, huh?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And, so you want to talk a little bit today about how to make a spiritual communion.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's our springboard for today. I think I don't think the spiritual communion has gotten so much discussion and airplay as it has in the last couple of weeks, with Mass not being offered in most places, and people being at home in self-isolation or self-quarantine. How to make a spiritual communion, and I want to say that our listeners, Jack, can get this online at fathersofmercy.com at the homepage, just in the search bar there off to the right side of the homepage, just type in the phrase spiritual communion, and the thumbnail comes right up for the document, my blog that I posted just 2 days ago. So how to make a spiritual communion. You know, St. Alphonsus Liguori, the great bishop and doctor of the church, recommends making a spiritual communion by carrying out the following three simple steps with great faith and fervor. Number one, make an act of faith in the real presence of Jesus Christ, truly present in the Most Blessed Sacrament, the Most Holy Eucharist, in his body, blood, soul, and divinity. Number two, make an act of desire accompanied by an act of sorrow for one's sins, whether mortal or venial, and whether past or present, so as to worthily receive these graces from the spiritual communion as if one were receiving actual sacramental Eucharistic communion at the altar rail. Number three, make an act of thanksgiving afterward, as if you receive Jesus sacramentally in the Most Holy Eucharist. And note that all three of these recommendations from St. Alphonsus Liguori can be easily combined into one prayer. And here's an example of such a prayer. Again, this is part of my blog that one can find at fathersofmercy.com. Here's an example of a spiritual communion prayer. My Lord Jesus Christ, although I greatly desire it at this moment, I am not able to receive you sacramentally in the Most Holy Eucharist. I believe, O Jesus, that you are really, truly, and substantially present in the most blessed sacrament of the altar, the Holy Eucharist, in your body, blood, soul, and divinity. I am truly sorry for all of my sins, mortal and venial, past and present. I ask of you, O Lord, through this spiritual communion, to bestow upon me all of those graces that I would otherwise receive as if I did actually receive you in Holy Communion. I desire your sanctifying and actual graces to the full, even until I am overflowing with them, so that I may in turn share these same graces with the rest of the world. Amen. And then two side notes, Jack, regarding the spiritual communion. Number one, ideally, a spiritual communion should regularly precede even a sacramental communion. We should have the habit of that. As Father John Hardin's Modern Catholic Dictionary tells us, very beautifully, quote, the conscious desire to receive Holy Communion, which should precede the actual reception of the sacrament of the Eucharist, spiritual communion, made in acts of faith and love during the day, is highly recommended by the Church. According to the Catechism of the Council of Trent, the faithful who receive the Eucharist in spirit are those who, inflamed with a lively faith that works in charity, partake in wish and desire of the celestial bread offered to them and receive from it, if not the entire, at least very great benefits from it. So that's Father John Hardin's Modern Catholic Dictionary quoting the Council of Trent's document, quote, on the Eucharist. And the second side note, Jack, again, part of this blog that can be easily accessed at fathersofmercy.com. Important, too, is to remember to make an act of contrition before your spiritual communion, just as you would do before receiving sacramental Eucharistic communion, again, at the altar rail, regarding contrition, it is worth mentioning here the distinction between perfect contrition and imperfect contrition, also called attrition. Perfect contrition is when you are sorry for your sins most of all, because they have offended God, who is all good and deserving of all of my love, as one version of the act of contrition aptly states. But if you are sorry for your sins and detest them only for purely human motives, for example, because you dread the loss of heaven and the pains of hell, or say because you've been asked to be a godparent to a niece or nephew, and the rules of Holy Mother Church require you to be in good standing of the Church, this would be imperfect contrition. Again, also known as attrition. But here's the great news, Jack, and to all of our listeners. Here's the great news. Holy Mother Church considers even imperfect contrition, that is, a fear of divine justice, even if mixed with purely human motives, to be a sufficient basis for sorrow for the sacrament of confession. And that's a great thing. So in this time of no public masses being offered, in this time, virtually globally, in this time of wanting to draw more closely to the Blessed Sacrament, what a beautiful, beautiful, time-honored tradition of prayer in the Catholic Church to make a spiritual communion, and this can be done at any time of the day. So again, please see my blog posted just 2 days ago at fathersofmercy.com. It's titled, How to Make a Spiritual Communion. When you go to fathersofmercy.com, our search bar is there on the right side of the homepage that comes up as first thing. And in that search bar, just type the words spiritual communion. And the thumbnail pops up. It's a little thumbnail size of a photograph of my artwork for this blog. You click on that thumbnail artwork and the entire blog comes up. And you can print it out on your home printer. Again, how to make a spiritual communion.
If you'd like to be on the program, the number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, your number is 1-205-271-2985. We're talking faith, family, and fellowship. Maybe you're home, self-quarantining or socially isolating yourself. And you've never really had an opportunity to call the program before. We want to talk to you today. 833-288-EWTN. Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade Menezes.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question, call 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send us an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Be sure to check out the Sunrise Morning Show tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Eastern Time. They'll be celebrating the Feast of the Annunciation, as all of us will. Steve Ray will be talking about St. Dismas, the Good Thief, and they'll also visit with Gary Zimak, who will give some more tips on giving up worry for Lent. That'd be a good thing for all of us to do. Again, that's the Sunrise Morning Show tomorrow morning and every morning, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on EWTN Radio. And another exciting announcement surrounding the Feast of Our Lady tomorrow is we here at EWTN Radio have kind of been a lifeline to Catholics and non-Catholics alike for over 27 years. And in response to the current situation, tomorrow on the Feast of the Annunciation, EWTN Radio Classics will temporarily become EWTN Radio Essentials. We will celebrate the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass every 2 hours from 8 a.m. Eastern Time through midnight Eastern Time. So everybody at various times of the day will have the opportunity to listen to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Between those airings, you'll hear various rosaries, chaplets, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy of St. Michael, Stations of the Cross during this Lenten season, other devotional, as well as the wisdom of spiritual icons you've come to know and love here on EWTN, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, Father Benedict Groeschel, Father Andrew Apostoli, Father George Rutler, and of course, Mother Angelica. You can hear EWTN Radio Essentials on smart speakers, the EWTN app, and at EWTN.com. And one last thing I want to get in to make sure I remind everybody that during these times, the bills do not stop coming in for those wonderful affiliates that bring you this great programming, especially in a time of trial. So please, if you have it within your means, support that local radio affiliate that brings you this great EWTN radio programming. They could use your help now more than ever. If you've got a question for Father Wade, the number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Are you ready to go to the phones, Father Wade?
Let's do it, Jack.
Camilla is in Santa Fe, New Mexico, listening on KSHF 96.7 St. Joseph Mayanette Radio. She's a first-time caller. Camilla, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so very much, and bless you all for your work. I have a question. Of course, it's about COVID. I don't want to dwell on COVID, but I am over 60, and I'm just wondering, I didn't know quite how to go about doing this. I guess I wasn't as well informed as I should be. I wanted to know how we go to confession now that the churches are closing, and if we should, God forbid, become, deathly ill with this virus. Not all of us are going to go to the hospital. Some of us might elect to die at home, or how do we get our last blessings, our last sacraments before we pass on.
Well, Camilla, what an excellent series of questions, and it's a great witness question to all of our listeners, because you are echoing questions that are addressed precisely in the most recent apostolic penitentiary note from the Vatican on the Sacrament of Penance, which came out just 4 days ago, on the 20th, and it was promulgated universally across the globe the day before on March 19th, which is the great solemnity of Saint Joseph, spouse of the Blessed Virgin, also the protector of the Universal Church. And it is a short document. It's only 2 pages printed out. If you go to vatican.va, which is the address, email address of the Vatican website officially, vatican.va, V as in Victor, A as in Apple, and simply on that search bar, put document on confession pandemic. Document on confession pandemic. The other option you can put in the search bar is just two words, reconciliation and pandemic. Reconciliation and pandemic. And it talks about the different ways that one is able to receive pardon for their sins, even if no priest is available in an extraordinary situation. Okay? So an ordinary situation would be private confession. And the document, this very short 2-page document from the Apostolic Penitentiary, exhorts us to still try to resort to the regular way to go to confession, which is something the Fathers of Mercy are doing right now during this time of pandemic with our bishop's approval. And that is, we have space between us and the penitent. They're outside on the front porch of the cabin, the guest cabin here at the Fathers of Mercy. We're sitting just inside the guest cabin, just inside the window. The glass is lowered low, except for a few inches. They can hear the confessor can hear the penitent, and we're able to do that. And it's a drive-up type of a scenario. And we've advertised on our homepage the 2 times per day, 2 hours per day, 7 days a week, so a total of 14 hours per day. So that remains the norm, to try to seek something out like that. If you can't, the second thing the Vatican has done has given dioceses, through the bishop's approval, to give what would normally be in imminent danger cases general absolution, called collective absolution in canon law, called general absolution in everyday language. Some bishops, like the Bishop of Fresno, California, has permitted that, I have found out. And periodically, as some of these restrictions hopefully are lightened up, the people can come back to the church, and even if they can't worship in the church, they can receive another general absolution. For example, it might be advertised that at such and such a date and time, we're going to offer another general absolution in the church. We ask you to stand outside the church, and the priest will approach the church from the outside and grant those gathered general absolution. So it's an extraordinary case of general absolution, that is, during time of pandemic. In the extraordinary case of general absolution, when death is imminent, like a plane is going down and there happens to be a priest on the plane, etc. Okay, the fourth option here, the fourth option that the 2-page document mentions, Camilla, is that even those dying in a ward or dying at home because of severe contagion and they are near death, the priest can still be called by the family members to stand at the threshold of the home's door, or the hospital's doorway, or the ward's doorway, and grant general absolution. In fact, there's a beautiful line here. It says, where the faithful who are in danger of death or hospitalized, using as far as is possible with the appropriate precautions the means of amplifying his voice, the confessor's voice, that is, taking the proper precautions of the means to amplify his voice so that the absolution may be heard by those receiving it. How beautiful is that? How beautiful is that? So even if the priest just has to come to your house and stand outside the doorway or outside your bedroom window where you've chosen to die in your home, as you said in your opening comments of your question, some of us might choose to die at home, he could do that. But this is why it's important for the family members, the extended family members, to be on the same page. And I'm sad to report that I know a lot of 20 to 50-year-olds who have left the faith, and so when their 50 to 80 or 90-year-old parents are dying, these late teen or 20-year-olds up to 50-year-olds who have left the church, they won't know what to do. They will not know what to do. And so it's up to the older generation to inform the younger generation, even the ones who aren't practicing the faith. Look, I want this done. I want the priest called. I want him to give me the general absolution. I want the apostolic pardon prayed aloud. And he needs to, and the loved ones should abide by that. So I'm telling you, I would recommend printing off this little two-page note, N-O-T-E is what it's called, from the Apostolic Penitentiary, one of the dicasteries of the, one of the offices, one of the dicasteries of the Vatican. Print it out, mail it to your kids, tell them that there's four main ways depicted in it that that absolution can be granted. Two of the ways are general absolution, and two are personal. And the second personal is even when the priest isn't in the immediate proximity of the individual, say standing at the door. And this is beautiful, and this is the word we got to get out. Does that help you out, Camilla?
Yes, it does. It just, you know, I won't have myself personally, I won't have any problem with my children following that. It's
praise
just
God.
I'm not aware of all the procedures and all the potentials for getting that accomplished. And I picture myself maybe, you know, being sick in my bed and not being able to reach my cell phone, or, you know, I guess I would go, I shouldn't let it go that long. I should, you know, if we should all start, we realize we're sick at that point, we should start, I guess, communicating more with the church and with the priest.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And arrangements before it reaches that point.
That is absolutely correct, Camilla. I would totally agree with you on that. As soon as you feel the sickness coming on, or even if you don't have the sickness, you go to confession once a month anyway. Still try to go to confession. Now, you've reminded me actually of the first thing I wanted to say, but I got talking right away about the apostolic note from the Vatican. The first thing I actually wanted to say was dioceses have imposed different rules regarding confession. Like our diocese here of Owensboro, Kentucky, our bishop is permitting us to hear individual confessions with the proper precautions of space and the penitent being outside, etc. The Diocese of Fresno has permitted general absolution through their bishop. So what the first thing I would do is whatever your home diocese is, I presume it's the Archdiocese of Santa Fe, New Mexico, see if you can find out, if the offices are closed, chances are they've posted it on the website of the diocese, the Archdiocese. Even if the offices aren't closed, they probably have still posted how confession's being handled for that particular Archdiocese or diocese online. So you can find out right away from your website of your Archdiocese of Santa Fe, New Mexico, what they are doing. And then you go from there. In other words, if it's only general absolution, then you are correct. Once you feel yourself getting sick, you want to call and see if a priest can come out and stand outside your door, etc. If they're permitting outdoor confessions in certain parishes and certain parish locations, and you're feeling well enough, maybe you could drive to one. There's many, many drive-through confessions being set up right now in different dioceses across the United States, and a few that I've read about online in different countries, where the person doesn't even have to get out of the car. The priest is under a little tent, a little 6-foot or 8-foot by 8-foot tent, sitting in a chair to protect himself from rain or whatever, and the car drives up right in front of the tent. There's probably 7 or 8 feet between the penitent and the confessor, and the penitent goes ahead and makes a confession. So the space is being honored, the distancing is being honored, it's outside, and that's a great thing. So find out, first of all, Camilla, what your archdiocese is permitting and not permitting in regards to confession. Great series of questions. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Camilla. And I know there's a priest in the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., that received a lot of coverage for hearing confessions in the parking lot of the parish. And he would even go so far as to have the person that was assisting him let him know ahead of time if the penitent that was approaching wanted to be anonymous, and he would put on a blindfold when they came
great,
forward.
Fantastic.
So, yeah. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade Menezes.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
833 888-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Plenty of time for your phone calls. Next up is Tony in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM Channel 130. Tony, you're on with Father Wade.
Hi, thank you, Father. I have a daughter who has run off with somebody about 1,000 miles from home, left her husband and all of us, and asked us to flat out leave her alone. I don't know, you know, what can I do? What can I not do? What is my relationship to my son-in-law in the eyes of God? And I guess I'll start with that.
Okay.
Agreement with the rest of the family about how to handle my son-in-law, because they're all afraid to talk to him because they're afraid that she's going to take that as they're siding with him, which if there's any siding, you know, it ought to be with him. But he's, you know, he's still a hurting, to me, he's my son, you know, as much as a almost like a legal adoption. He's my son through the covenant of marriage, and he's hurting, and he needs us too. So, kind of in a bind.
Yeah, great, great series of questions, Tony. Thank you so much. Your daughter needs to realize that according to the sacrament of marriage, they are still married, and because they are still married, until it's proven otherwise, and canon law gives her the right to prove otherwise through an annulment process that the marriage was never sacramental to begin with. But until then, as long as they're is a danger of souls being lost because of despair, for example, on your son-in-law's part, who doesn't want the breakup, or out of pride and selfishness out of your daughter's part, as long as there's a danger of souls being lost, you have every right to be concerned as a father to her and a father-in-law to him that you want to help them. And you tell your daughter that. You graciously and gently tell her, look, I'm sure you have your reasons, and you have every right to pursue those reasons, but until then, my main concern here is to pray for the souls involved so that there's no despairing, sin of despair, and there's no presumption, no presuming, the sin of presumption, on your son-in-law's part, despair, and your daughter's part, respectively. And you have a right to talk to your son-in-law, to try to help placate any despair that he's experiencing. Your daughter has a right to pursue the annulment process. Make that clear to her, okay? And it, the church decides whether or not things were in place that day that the sacramental marriage seemingly took place, to now rule that it never took place. And I'm not a canon lawyer in particular, and I'm not a canon lawyer in general, so I'll leave it to the professionals to tell you what those particular areas would be where your daughter would have a case, huh? But you have every right to be concerned. Now, all that said, at the same time, I want to say this. Your daughter is an adult. She is an adult. So if she makes a conscious, willed choice to cut you off when she sees you trying to help her, if she makes a conscious, willed effort to cut you off, when you are trying to help him, even though you've explained to her very charitably why you want to help him, you want to protect him from despairing, okay? And who knows where the despair could lead? I know of suicide cases that have taken place because of a breakup of a marriage, okay? I know of at least two right off the bat. So if your daughter chooses to not talk to you because you're worried about your son-in-law and she's mad at you for talking to him, that's her issue. That is her issue. You could go before your maker at your death, Tony, and say, Lord, I never cut either one off. In fact, quite the opposite. I tried to help both of them in the appropriate way. And our Lord will look at you and say, yes, you did. Well done and good and faithful servant. Now come into your master's house. You use the word fear four times when you explain to me, Tony, myself and our other family members are fearful of talking to him because of how she's going to interpret that. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, has not given us, through the Spirit of wisdom, a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of trust. And that's what we build our lives on, is that trust. Especially in the time of a pandemic, when it's so easy to get this virus and it's attacking especially people over age 50. It's also attacking under age 50, but it's especially prevalent with those over 50, and it's especially a very strong virus for those over 50, and most who have died are over age 50. So you're going to get your soul right with God when these trials and tribulations come up. Tony, I want to direct you to a blog that I posted 3 weeks ago at fathersofmercy.com. It's titled 25 Specifically Catholic Marriage Tips. 25 Specifically Catholic Marriage Tips. Go to fathersofmercy.com in the search bar that appears on the right-hand side of the homepage. I want you to simply type in the words 25 tips or 25 marriage tips. And when you do 25, put the number 2 and the number 5. Okay, 25 marriage tips or 25 tips. It'll come right up as a thumbnail. You click on it and it'll come right up. Let me tell you, number six says, be forgiving of each other's wrongs and failures. Remember, a perfect marriage is an imperfect husband and an imperfect wife who absolutely refuse to give up on one another, huh? Number nine is this, be intentional about forming an us as opposed to only focusing on me. Be other-centered instead of being self-centered. And I think your daughter needs to read that one, huh? How about this one, number 19? Invite your spouse to be your accountability partner in everyday affairs, sharing even temptations that you may encounter with your spouse. Get ready, because the devil will hate this. Good. Let him hate it. Dispel the darkness and let the light of Christ shine within and through your marriage. Amen. That's the message we got to get out to hurting married couples. And I just shared with you three of these tips. There's a total of 25. I want to repeat that number 19 again, because the devil's mention in it. And this is what I see a lot in the confessions I hear. And I say that very generally, not mentioning any one sin, surely not mentioning any one person's name. I hear it in spiritual direction, etc. Number 19, invite your spouse to be your accountability partner in everyday affairs, sharing even temptations that you may encounter with your spouse. The devil will hate this. Good. Let him hate it. Dispel the darkness and let the light of Christ shine within and through your marriage. Huge, huge. And while we're on it, I want to talk about the marriage bed, because this is huge too. Number 21, pay attention to and have great communication in marital sexuality. Your marital covenant should lead you to be other-centered towards your spouse and not self-centered in the area of sexuality. Husbands, understand the importance of your initiating both intimacy and affection with your wives. These must be genuine and not serve selfish motives. A husband, for example, should and needs to plan a date night with his wife, and remember that he must continually pursue his wife's heart. Initiating the romance is important as men, especially since the sacramental conjugal embrace in the marriage bed continually pours strength into the couple. Wives, be receptive and trusting of your husbands in this regard. Assume the best about your husband's intentions. It is vitally important that husbands and wives know each other's love languages, quote unquote. Otherwise, they risk being misfired for many years if not learned. The marriage bed and temptation in marriage. These two things are huge. Huge. Number 23, remain diligent to the overall temporal dimension of your marriage, that is, with home and family life, work and friendships. How about the Rosary and Divine Mercy Chaplet? You said this couple was married in church, your daughter and her husband. Always put God first in your marriage. He created you both. He made you both to know Him, to love Him, and to serve Him in this life, so as to be forever happy with Him in the next, huh? How about this? Never underestimate the power of the sacraments, especially weekly Eucharist and monthly confession. Enough said. Period. How about number 3? Never underestimate the power of prayer, especially the daily rosary and the daily Divine Mercy Chaplet, whether prayed individually, in the car on your way to work, or as spouses in the home, or as a family with your children. The rosary and the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Enough said, period. The devil's having his heyday today with marriages. Look at the plague of pornography, for example. That's just one example. How about prescription drug abuse, let alone recreational drug abuse? So, Tony, these are huge things, and you have every right to have your heart on fire for your son-in-law, to want to assist him in possibly despairing. And you have every right to have your heart on fire, Tony, to want to help your daughter in what could be presumption on her part, that this marriage is automatically no good. Maybe you want to email her those 25 tips. Okay, you know how to approach her first, but you do not let fear rule your life when it comes to the possible loss of a soul. That is either your daughter or your son-in-law's. You need to be strong and steadfast. Now, granted, you talk very charitably to her. You love her. You explain to her why you need to be strong in this, okay? But at the same time, understand that if she cuts you off about it because of it, if she cuts you off because of it, it's her issue. The other thing you can do, Tony, is always, always, always pray for them. Never, ever give up the prayer. Never give up the prayer.
Yeah, 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Next stop for us is Canal Fulton, Ohio. Kathy is in the great state of Ohio listening on Living Bread Radio. A great question, Kathy. You're on with Father Wade.
Hello, Father Wade.
Hello, Kathy. Thank you for your call today from Canal Fulton, Ohio. We appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm so glad that you can take my call.
What's your question today, Kathy?
Here's my question. I'm curious. Somebody made a comment to me that there may be a difference. When I'm watching Mass live on TV, because we can't get Mass at church, it's very efficacious and we receive all the graces. If I'm watching a replay of the Mass, they said it's not the same as the first time watching the Mass when it was being live. Is that
okay?
A correct understanding, or is there some confusion?
Yeah, no, it's not a correct understanding. It's a point of confusion with whoever told you that on their part, because it's very clear the church has no official teaching on that part of it, whether it's as efficacious watching it live televised or on a live stream of internet versus watching it already having been priorly celebrated and now watching it on television or through a post-live feed of the internet. The church doesn't answer that at all. The church teaches this, however: if you're able to get to Mass, you need to fulfill the Mass attendance, especially if it's a Sunday obligation attendance, in person, health permitting, okay? But if you're not able to, the graces are just as efficacious if you are truly, sincerely homebound and not able to attend the Mass live, then the graces can be just as efficacious from watching it on a screen, whether television or on a computer screen. But the church does not go so far as to discern whether or not it needs to be a live stream on television or internet or versus already priorly recorded. The church doesn't go that far to define all that. All she says is that if you are able to attend in person, you must, especially for the obligatory Masses of Sunday and holy days of obligation that follow during the week. But if you are truly, sincerely homebound, say in a nursing home or in your home, then yes, you or you're on a cruise ship that has absolutely no priest to celebrate a Mass, then you can watch it online, and then through no fault of your own, praise God, you are still watching it, although it's on screen, live or not. Then the graces can be as efficacious. It's like receiving a Holy Communion live, okay, at the Mass, or receiving the Holy Communion homebound. Well, the Holy Communion's just as efficacious, okay? Granted, it's the real thing in your presence, the actual host in your presence, but still, remember, God never demands more from us than what we're able to receive. God never demands more from us than what we're able to give. So if you're truly, truly, sincerely homebound, then our Lord isn't going to hold that against you, and the disciplinary teachings of the church on the liturgy are not going to hold that against you. Remember, too, that one of the 16 documents from the Second Vatican Council was Inter Mirifica, on the means of mass social communications. The church was ahead of the time, really, when this was promulgated during the Second Vatican Council, which ran from 62 to 65. Inter Mirifica addresses this. that for the homebound, for example, they would be able to benefit from the graces from the Mass. So if they are truly homebound. So take a look at that document online. Again, Inter Mirifica, M-I-R-I-F-I-C-A, on the means of modern Mass communication from the Second Vatican Council. Thank you, Kathy, for a great question.
And here at the network, we're trying our very best to keep you abreast of everything that's going on and to try to minister to your spiritual and temporal needs. It makes in a time of crisis for a lot of changes and ongoing changes. And if you want to stay on top of everything that's going on here at EWTN, a great way to do that is our e-newsletter, Wings. It comes out once a week, right to your inbox, and it'll get you abreast of all the special programming and everything going on here at the network. So you can subscribe to our e-newsletter, Wings, at EWTN.com. Next up is Susan in Browns Mills, New Jersey. She's watching us on YouTube. We'll give you a wave there, Susan. You're on with Father Wade.
Hello, Father Wade. How are you?
I'm doing great, Susan. Thank you so much.
First, Matt, thank you for your dedication, and I have to say I truly see the light of Jesus in you, and I'd like a miracle in my life because through work and everything, I'm just not understanding, and I don't know how to, I guess, sit still and let God do his work. Work is very relentless, and they're targeting me and retaliating because I'm a whistleblower. I take care of the developmentally disabled, and they're relentless, one thing on top of the other. And this last thing, they told me I had to stay out of work for 14 days to self-isolate, but I don't have it. I went through the doctor, and I have been going to work. I went to work last night. I worked overnight shift. And it's just things like that just keep building up, and I just want to need some advice how I'm going to make it until June 1st when I retire.
Okay, well, praise God, Susan. You only have till June 1st to get to. So with God's grace, you'll be able to do just that. Now, when you say you're feeling persecuted in the workplace, do you mean about only temporal issues, like whistleblowing issues? If somebody's abusing a patient, for example, and I use that just as an example, not that you said that. Or do you also mean and or faith issues, like if you happen to express your faith or you're told to remove for example, a picture of Jesus from your desk? Is it both temporal and spiritual things, or is it just more temporal things that you're being persecuted with?
I guess more temporal things.
Okay. Remember that workers have rights, okay? Not only do they have state rights, they have federal rights. And not only do they have state rights and federal rights, but they have particular workplace rights. In other words, your particular workplace, the particular home you work at, whether it's an autonomous home for the disabled or a part of a conglomerate of homes. I forget what they call that. But anyway, it might be one in a network. It might be part of a network of homes for the disabled. You're also going to have workplace rights for that individual workplace. Know your rights. Okay, especially in this modern day and age, from the Me Too movement to the priestly sexual scandals, the whole gamut, it seems like whistleblowing, when it's authentic and not done viciously or in a lie, but when it's a real thing, whistleblowing is more welcoming today because somebody's hurting, somebody's getting hurt because of the abuse that's going on, okay? So know your rights, federal, state, and workplace-wise, and be well-versed in them. Also, secondly, have a great rapport with your immediate supervisor. Remember, the Catholic theology of work teaches this: grace comes through the chain of command. Grace comes through the chain of command. Grace is most operative through the proper chain of command. We get this from Scripture. If you have a problem with your brother, go to your brother. If he won't listen to you, then grab a witness, okay? The witness won't listen, go to two, okay? Grace comes through the proper chain of command. So whoever you're having an issue with, try to talk to that person first. If not, go to the supervisor, either your supervisor and or their supervisor, if it's two different supervisors. If that's the case, I would go to your supervisor first and let him or her know that you're witnessing this going on now for several times and you feel that the person's supervisor should know about it. Hopefully, your supervisor would be the one who notifies their supervisor. Again, proper chain of command. You do your part. So I hope that helps you out, Susan. I'm not an expert in the workplace, although from a Christian point of view, I can point you in the right direction of the basics, rights at a federal, state, and workplace levels, and then the proper chain of command. Does that help you out at all, Susan?
No, basically I was looking for graces and prayer so I could get through this.
Well, I didn't know you were talking specifically about graces and prayers. Okay, so I'm glad you made that clear. There's a great, great series of prayers in a new manual called Manual for Spiritual Warfare. There's prayers for even in the workplace, and that's something you might want to get. I know that with Johnette Williams, Jack's wife, I did a series on Women of Grace, a Monday through Friday series with her on the dignity of human labor and how to give your all to your work, even though there's trying circumstances in the workplace, from fellow employees not getting along to actual workplace protocol being set in place that you don't understand. There's ways to see the dignity of your labor, and that's five short episodes. Each one's only a half hour. You can get that from EWTNRC.com. But look especially at this Manual for Spiritual Warfare, which has a series of deliverance prayers, a series of personal prayers, the basic prayers, as well as prayers for the workplace, and also prayers for times of distress, for example, during this pandemic, as just one example. So start with those two things, the Dignity of Human Labor with Father Wade and Johnette Bankovic, then, I think that's how her name is on the cover, and then Johnette Williams of Women of Grace, and then also the Manual for Spiritual Warfare.
And that's put together by Paul Thigpen, and that's also available at EWTNRC.com. We head next to my hometown, St. Louis, Missouri. Rich is in St. Louis listening on Covenant Radio. Rich, you're on with Father Wade.
Hi, Father Wade. Really enjoy your program. Listen all the time, and I thank God for Covenant Network. I have a question here. Last week, one of the apologists said that a lady had called in and asked about using the Lord's name in vain. And the apologist gave the impression that it was always a mortal sin. Now, my question is this. That doesn't sound right to me. If a person used the Lord's name, and I know it's the second commandment, I know it's displeasing to God, there's no question of that. But whether it's always a mortal sin, if it's used in an exclamation, a condemnation, this GD thing, or this...
I understand what you're asking. We're short on time here, so I do want to make sure that I have time to answer your question. Thank you for your question, first of all. In order to sin mortally or venially, and you're asking specifically about mortal sin, you have to will it, huh? So grave matter, which taking the Lord's name in vain is grave matter, always and everywhere. It's objectively grave matter, no doubt. Fullness of knowledge that it's grave matter, which most people have a knowledge, even if they don't practice any Christian faith, they understand that using God's name in vain socially is not proper. It's not good. And then thirdly, they have to have full consent of the will when they do it. So if a machinist working in his shop hits his thumb out of the clear blue when it wasn't even expected, very hard with a hammer, and he lets out the Lord's name in vain, the Lord's name with a curse word, there's no way that he did it with fullness of will. Now, you could say that he might have a bad habit in his life of not curtailing his language regarding God when something like that comes out of the clear blue. That's probably the greater fault of his in this case, not having a good habit. Remember, a good habit is a virtue, a bad habit is a vice. Rather than being virtuous about using God's name, he's viceful in using God's name. That's the greater evil here. But in that particular instance, the third element needed for a mortal sin to be present was not present. For a mortal sin to be present, you need grave matter, which that always is, fullness of knowledge that it's grave matter, which most people understand that using God's name in vain is grave matter. And thirdly, you have to have fullness of will when you do it. Does that help you out?
Yes, it sure does.
God bless you, Richard. We appreciate that. Father Wade, would you, got about a minute left here, would you maybe offer a very, very short prayer and leave us with a blessing?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty and ever-living God, Heavenly Father, faith tells us that nothing happens apart from your ordaining will or your permissive will, and that you never permit an evil to take place without some greater good coming from it. We ask you, O Lord God, for an end to the coronavirus pandemic, for the healing of those infected with the virus, and for the blessed repose of the souls of those who have died from it. We ask this through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Saint Joseph, terror of demons,
pray for us. On behalf of our host, Father Wade Menezes, our producer, Michael McCall, call screener, Ryan Penny, and our social media maven, Mr. Jeff Burson, I'm Jack Williams. Thanks so much for tuning in. Back at it tomorrow with Father Mitch. Until then, God bless.